Stop that beautiful invitation for you to surrender everything to the Lord. I'm telling you, friend, if he's not Lord of everything, excuse me, he is not Lord at all. Now, we have a broadcast, telecast, open Bible dialogue broadcast today that's really very, very special. I wish I could get this message into the hearts of millions of godly, good godly people, and then many wicked people, many unsaved people, many good moral people, but who are not saved and are not ready to go in the rapture. I wish I could get this message to you. The name of it is Saved Out of Doomsday, but you've missed the rapture. Saved out of doomsday, but you've missed the rapture. Now, I want to talk today about what's going to happen after that rapture occurs, and what kind of world will you be thrust into? What kind of atmosphere will you suddenly find yourself living in? What kind of atmosphere will you be raising your little children in? What kind of atmosphere will you need to go backwards and forwards to work, and you'll need to make all the things of life go together and meet the needs of the family, the home? Friend, what kind of world are you going to face? And can you even be saved is a question of many. Saved out of doomsday? Well, I'm here to tell you, there's going to be a multitude that get saved out of doomsday. But I must warn you. I must warn you. I must warn you that getting saved out of doomsday is going like is going to be like being saved out of a worldly hell, out of a situation indescribable, beyond measure. No way to make you understand it. The world doesn't even want to hear it today. They don't want to know what they're going to have to go through if they miss the rapture. Well, I'm one of those pastors who loves you so much that I am not going to quit telling you. If you don't listen, then that's your responsibility. But I've got to tell you. I've got to tell you. Now, the world is right now having its last fling. You better believe me when I tell you the world is having its last fling. And you can look. And you can listen, and you can read the news, and you can watch whatever's happening on the sewer tube. And I'm here to tell you, you will see that the world is on its last place. There is no way this world can continue in the way it's going, and the rate is going down, and the rate is compromising everything decent. There's no way it can continue but a very short period. I say in the article that goes with this message that the cup of God's wrath is 99.9% full. The cup of God's wrath is 99.9% full. And I really believe that. I believe the cup of God's wrath is at the point that without a question, God has to act. And God's cup of wrath is full, and judgment is coming. Now listen to me. We're talking about the rapture. But we're talking specifically about missing the rapture, about the rapture occurring and you not going. And see, I am one of those who believe that rapture is going to occur before this year is over. I don't have a prophecy to say that. I don't know that. Nobody knows the date or time. Nobody knows the hour. But we can look at the signs. We can read the evidence. We can see what our world is into and what our world is acting like and what our world is conducting themselves in. And my dear friend, there's no way to doubt that our world is on the verge of catastrophe. Nobody can look at the world. Look at the scene in Florida this week. Look at all the rhetoric coming out of that scene. Look at the scene in North Korea. Look at what has happened. Any direction you look, and may I say, I am grateful for the kind of news that has covered the death of Billy Graham this week. I've heard the gospel stated, usually in your little short sentences, over and over. And I've even wept as I would hear someone on Fox, like the time that Billy Graham was on a discussion with Larry King, and they were playing some excerpts of that. And I was just, the words that were coming from the lips of Billy Graham were the words of the gospel, the words of invitation. The word's telling you that there's life in Jesus Christ. And the only life that's worth living is in Jesus Christ. And there's only two destinations for human life. One is eternal hell and one is eternal heaven. And you are choosing. You are making a choice every day. You cannot live a day without having made a choice that day. Do I want to go to heaven, or am I satisfied to go to hell? It's every day. It's right now. Right now, your life is a testimony of what direction you are headed in. Right now. this very moment. Now, I want to talk. I want you to get involved with me. I want everybody out there to hear me. I want my phones to ring off with your questions and take me to task. I don't mind. I love it. I want you to take me to task. Don't play no games with me. Say what you want to say to this man. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can take it. I'm here to tell you, I can take it. It may not be easy, and it may hurt. But I'm here to tell you that I want to get your attention, and I want your question, and I want you to come alive with me, and let's find out about this business of the rapture. The coming of Jesus in the clouds. Billy Graham preached that as much as I preach it. He believed in the pre-tribulation rapture. He believed that rapture was going to occur, and there's going to be 7 dark years of a tribulation of hell. And you know what Jesus said in Matthew 24? He said there's never been a tribulation like this great tribulation. Never has there been a time in human history like this time that's coming. Now, before I go any further, I want to read you something from the words of the great Apostle Peter. Apostle Peter, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Are you listening? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to you would, long-suffering to us would, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Don't give me none of this Calvinistic stuff that God only saves a few people and he's already chosen them, limited atonement. I don't believe it. That's a doctrine from the devil. That's a doctrine out of the pit of hell. There's not one out there listening to me unless you blaspheme the Holy Spirit that could not get saved. And you could have got saved before you blasphemed the Holy Spirit. That's just how God's mercy and God's grace reaches. I'm telling you, reaches to every one of you. And again, that's what Billy Graham preached. He didn't preach Calvinism. He preached whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Got to read that verse again. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. When is it going to happen, Brother Chambers, as a thief in the night? A thief doesn't warn you when he's coming. He don't want you to know he's going to come at 2:00 tomorrow night. He really doesn't. He will do everything he can to make sure nobody knows what he's doing. But Jesus is coming. And Jesus, Apostle Peter said this, but the Lord, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? The elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. All the works of human flesh shall be burned up. All the works of human flesh shall be burned up, and the word of the Lord, and the things of the Lord, and the beauty of the Lord, the natures God made it in the beginning, shall shine anew, and the Garden of Eden shall reappear. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Seeing then, now look what Peter said. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be? Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person then ought you to be in all conversation and godliness? Looking for, notice this, looking for and hastening unto the day of God. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, friends, wherein dwelleth, the message is so good. The message is so heavenly. The message is such a blessing that I regret that you must, I must take time to talk about the opposite and the negative side. There's no way to have a positive without a negative. You know that. A battery, and you only hook up the positive, you're not going to get a thing out of it. And any other source of electricity must have a negative and a positive. Has to be. And so is all of life. All of life, your life is absolutely a life filled with both negatives and positives. And the negatives can help make the positives so wonderful and so real. I'm telling you, friend, it's wonderful. Now, let's talk about what will happen after the rapture. What will happen if you miss the rapture? Now, that's the real question today. What happens if you miss the rapture? What happens if you miss the rapture? What does it mean for your life? What does it mean for your future? What kind of situation would you have to face? What kind of life would you have to deal with? What kind of things are you going to have to try to figure out and get them all together? Well, you got to listen to me. You got to listen to me. Now, you know the excitement in the Bible about being part of the bride of Christ is one of the most wonderful promises in the Scripture. Being part of the bride of Jesus Christ. It's the highest honor. It's the highest royal satisfaction on that glorious day. It's the great crown that you can get. There is no crown greater than to be part of the bride of Christ. If you miss the rapture, you can never be part of the bride. If you miss the rapture, you cannot be part of the bride. Do you get that? You say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, if you don't want to take the Bible literal, then that's up to you. But I take it literal because I know that's how it's going to play out in the end. It's all going to play out and it's going to be literal in the end. And so I'm just going to take it literal all the way because that is so extremely important to me. So if you miss the rapture, you will never be part of the bride of Jesus Christ. You'll be guest. You'll be guest. Yes, you'll be guest at the wedding. You'll get there late. But you'll be guessed. You won't get there halfway through the middle of the tribulation period. But my friend, you got to hear me. You got to hear me. That you will miss being part of the bride. You will miss being part of the bride. And then you will literally miss being at the marriage supper for the first 3.5 years. You'll be there the last 3.5 years, but not the first 3.5 years. And I just can't imagine missing any of that rapture. But the grandest thing is being part of that bride. Now, would you believe, will you listen to me now? If you are a person who misses being part of the bride, you don't go in the rapture, you will never have a crown. The tribulation saints have no crown. Go to Revelation 7 and you'll see the perfect picture of those who come up out of the great tribulation and there is no crown on their head. There is no crown on their head. And you'll notice that now in chapter 4, you'll find the raptured saints have crowns on their head. But the saints in Revelation 7 that come up out of the tribulation after being slaughtered, after being treated like dust and dirt, I mean, it will be a horrible time. And we'll talk about that. And you can ask any question you want to ask. Brother Chambers will do his best to answer you. Okay? Let me give you the phone numbers and we'll begin to take questions if you have them. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And then the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. I'll put it up for you. 1-800-338-7884. Now, I want your calls because I'm talking about different things and you may forget something you want to ask. So grab your phone and get it to me quickly. I want your question. I want to answer it live on the radio, on the internet, on the Facebook, so that you will hear it and others will hear it. And who knows who you might help, see? Who knows whom you might help? And that's the beauty of getting involved with me, is you may help somebody else. Now, remember, one, you cannot be part of the bride of Jesus Christ. You will never have the honor of being a member of the brideship of Jesus Christ. You will never have a mansion in the city of New Jerusalem. Nobody who misses the brideship will live in New Jerusalem. The only people living in New Jerusalem will be the bride of Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and the great bride of Jesus Christ of the ages, those blessed men and women who gave their everything. They were willing to be burned at stake. They forsook everything, mother, father, sister, brother, houses, lands, everything. It didn't matter. They were all out for Jesus Christ, and now they're part of the bride. You will not be a resident in the city of New Jerusalem if you miss being part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the worst thing. Once that rapture takes place and the Antichrist is turned loose and the judgments of God begin to fall like rain on this earth, when this whole world is turned into a slaughterhouse, a slaughterhouse. The best way to describe those 7 years is the world's going to be a slaughterhouse. It's going to be worse than the slaughterhouse of a pig slaughterhouse or a cattle slaughterhouse. It will be horrible. It will be horrible. I will show you in a minute how people who are so slaughtered as they will be during that great tribulation period, that they cry out even after they're dead for God to avenge them of this horrible treatment in which they were having to bear during this dark and hellish period on the face of this earth. Well, let's take a call here. I want you to call, and so I will answer, and you are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, how are you?
Hey, sir.
Great. Will babies be taken during the rapture, or very young children like to think
Hey, ask that again.
May's responsibility.
Go ahead now. I'm listening.
Oh, can you hear me?
I'm hearing you, sir. Please go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, will babies and young children be taken up in the rapture?
No, sir. Now, that's a good question. Will babies and young children be taken up in the rapture? The only way a baby will go in the rapture, or a young child that's not reached the age of accountability, is if either mother our dad has so lived that their children are sanctified by the godly life of mom and the godly life of dad. Now, you'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, very plainly, that children are sanctified by a believing parent. The Bible says a child who is not sanctified by a believing parent has an unclean heart. Unclean because they've not been sanctified by either mother or dad. Now, the proof of that, and that's a good question, sir, is in the book of Matthew 24 and in the book of Luke 21. And I'm glad that God put it in His Word twice, because that way, you know, some people will argue one and try to get by the other. But the Bible is absolutely plain. The Bible says, "Woe unto them." Now, this is in the book of Luke 23, verse 22. "But woe unto them that are with child." That means they're pregnant. "And to them that give suck." That's those that are already nursing in those days. "For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon the people." So there you have a scripture saying, and this is Jesus talking. This is not Peter and Luke or Matthew. This is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And He's talking about the great tribulation. He names it. He is the one who calls it the great tribulation. The first time it's called the great tribulation is by Jesus. And in the very text in which He says and calls it the great tribulation, He says, "Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon the people." Little children will only go up in the rapture if they have a believing mom or a believing dad. Now that makes some people angry, but friend, quit going around the Bible and trying to fix your own theology. Quit going around the scripture and trying to put things in a more soothing way, a more acceptable way that people can handle a little better. I want every mom and dad out there to know for their sake that if they miss the rapture, if one of them is not saved, their children are going to be here. Anybody in their family unsaved that's not reached the age of accountability will be here with mama and dad. And that is heart-rending. And it can't be no other way, because the Bible is just too plain. The Bible is just too plain. And the greatest Bible scholars I've ever known agree with me. I mean, they really do. I was at a pre-trib conference, and Mr. Tribulation, pre-tribulation theologian out of the Dallas Theological Seminary, before he died, was up speaking, and he said exactly what I'm saying. Exactly, and all those young, you know, whippersnappers that's come along later, they kind of twist things around like they wanted to be, but I don't do that. The Bible is literal. Thank you, sir. Is that, do you understand?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. You know, when you understand these great truths, they can change your life. And that's what I'm sitting here to do, is to help change your life and to help you understand what this Bible says. Now, I want to go on, because I want to talk about the things that will happen for those who miss the rapture. See, I'm talking about saved out of doomsday. Saved out of doomsday. If you get saved after the rapture, you are being saved out of doomsday. And the slaughter in which you're going to face is unimaginable. I grieve for grandchildren I have that I can't move them. I can't. They just don't want to listen. They don't want to hear Papa. They'll stay away from my house to keep me from preaching to them and warning them, because they're living in the world, and they're not bad. They're good kids. They're hard workers. They're all making decent living. If there's one of them that drink or smoke, I don't know anything about it, and I don't want to find out if they do. But I'm here to tell you, friend. I'm here to tell you, if you're not saved, if you're not born again and made a new creature in Christ, and if you've not surrendered all you are to Christ, if you're not His property, Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart. You heard that song before I began to do this program today. And I'm telling you, it is just that dangerous. It is just that dangerous. Now, you will be slaughtered by the... Well, do you know who's going to do the slaughtering during the tribulation period? The false church. That crowd of you know, the new theology, the new post-millennialism, there's all kinds of names for it. I won't try to name all of them. Post-millennialism, mid-trib, post-trib, post-millennial. Then there's some who call themselves the New Reformation. Some call themselves the Manifest Sons of God. All kinds of names for these people who are going to take over the world with the Antichrist, actually believing that the Antichrist is the real Christ. Can you believe that? That the Antichrist will be worshipped as the true Christ. They will hurl him after he's miraculously delivered from a death experience. They will hurl him, and the Bible says the world will worship him. The world will worship him. And that crowd that worship him will hate anybody. I'm not going to be here. But and great saints of God are not going to be here. But multitudes are going to get saved. And they will be hated. If you don't join the New World Church after the rapture, they will hate you and they will kill you. And they will rejoice to see you die. The Bible said they will kill you thinking that it gives God glory, thinking that it brings honor and praise to God. Now, do you want to take a chance of having to be slaughtered and having to serve Christ under such circumstance that cost you your life? You watch your wife be slaughtered. You watch your children be slaughtered. You then wait for your time to be slaughtered. You watch your friends. There'll be no time to bury people. They'll have to bury them with bulldozers because billions will die in a short period of 7 years. Imagine 1 billion dying in 7 years. Do you understand how many people that would be? That would be 133 million every year. 133 billion every year. No, it's million. 133 million every year. Do you imagine, friend? And it'll be much more than that now. It'll be much more than that. It'll be more like 500 million every year. You are talking about one of the darkest periods of human, over 5 million. What, the 7 billion people on the earth? So that means if two-thirds of them die in 7 years, that's about 5 billion. And 5 billion is, you know, you're talking about such a horde of people, until burying them will be an impossibility. Now, I just finished. I had it written down that your small children and your young people, who have not reached the age of having had an experience with Christ themselves. And then teenagers. I mean, how many teenagers out there are saved today? Very few of them. Those who claim to be saved only got religion. Their lives haven't been changed. They aren't living fully for Christ. Look at the people who go to these new kind of churches like the Elevation. I mean, I meet them all the time. There's not a semblance of Christianity among those dear people. They're not bad people. They can be very friendly, but when you talk about what it means to carry the cross and walk with Jesus and live a godly life, well, it's a sad picture. It really is. Now remember, you'll get no crown. You'll get no crown. I can't think of anything worse than not even getting a crown. You'll miss the first 3.5 years of the great celebration of the wedding feast, and you'll arrive only quite late. Now, I want to go into this a little further here with the Bible. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Revelation chapter 6. You got to hear this. I want you to listen carefully as we go to Revelation 6, because that's where the tribulation period begins. It begins in the first verse of Revelation 6. And I'm going to read a little bit and we'll talk about it. And the line's now open. Any moment you call me, 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. Listen now, 1-800-338-7884. Let me put up that number for just a minute again, okay? I want you to call. I really want to try to answer your questions because I want nobody out there who has to leave this program and not know that Reverend Chambers is really bringing you something incredible. This is the truth that was taught by many great preachers through the years. I promise you. This is the truth Billy Graham taught you. Do you understand that? Billy Graham believed very much in the pre-trib rapture and the soon coming of the Lord, and made it plain in his preaching. Made it plain in his preaching. Here we are, the world celebrating his homegoing. Well, I want to tell you something, friend. What we need and better celebrate is getting ready to go home myself, too. I'm grateful. I do nothing here today but honor Billy Graham for the great preaching he did. But I want to tell you, I want you to get ready yourself and begin to tell your friends and your neighbors and everybody. Now, go with me. Let me tell you before I go to this, let me tell you about a notebook I have. This notebook is breathtaking. It really is. It is about 50 different visions that Apostle John had in the book of Revelation. And so it is a book of the miracles, the supernatural revelations that God gave to John the Revelator. And you know I have a book on the book of Revelation. That's verse by verse. This is a vision by vision. Each of the visions that John the Revelator had, he tells how he saw these things. You see, the word saw, or the word seen, is in the book of Revelation over 60 times because John saw these things. They were like a great drama. They were played out in front of him. He didn't just hear the words about them. He saw the picture of them. He saw them as a drama being acted out in front of him so that he couldn't doubt what he was seeing. It was too plain. Now, here's part of that drama. Here's what John says. And I saw, notice that word saw, S-O-S-A-W. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. I saw, John said. He didn't hear it. He saw it. Are you listening? I love that notebook for that reason. It really needs to be published into a book. But nobody wants to publish a King James book, you know, King James Bible. They want you to change it to the NIV, and I refuse. I'm not going to do it. But that has nearly 200 pages, and that's 8.5 by 11 pages, which would be pretty much equal to 2 pages in a book. So you're talking about over 300 pages if it was in a book. And it's a notebook, and it's available, and it's simply the revelations of Jesus Christ. That means the revelation dramas that John the Revelator saw. Are you getting that? And you can call right now and order that notebook. It is worth your getting it. Now, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, listen now, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, John said, I saw. He didn't hear it. He saw it. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Well, he goes on, and when he opened the second seal, when he opened the third seal, the second seal was another horse, and this horse was red, and the third seal was a gray horse, and the fourth seal was a red horse. And these were these horses represent God's judgment going forth in the earth. It represents God judging wickedness and sin. And that starts immediately at the beginning of the 7 years. During the tribulation period, you're not just facing the tribulations which the Antichrist is pouring on the world. You're facing the judgments of wrath which God is pouring on the world. So you've got darkness coming from two different directions. God's judgment coming to clean this world up, to make it purer. To clean it up of all the dirty things that men have done, to eliminate transgender thoughts and sodomy living and adultery and fornication and thieves and liars and just all the wickedness that comes upon our world. Look at all the wickedness that's coming today. It's coming from every direction. And so you got God's judgment coming, and you got the devil's darkness coming, and everybody's caught in the vacuum of all of that. In the vacuum. And so you turn to Christ. Because anybody that has any common sense, and they know if they don't turn to Christ, that is the only hope now. But it's really the only hope then. And if they turn to Christ, immediately the Antichrist goes after them. And they become a sitting duck to be slaughtered and to be killed and to watch the horror of family members and friends and the whole. I mean, don't go to church, because the most dangerous place to go will be the church, because right there, if there would be such a thing as a decent church, they'd be there to arrest everybody and to slaughter everybody, because there won't be no escape. Are you hearing me? Now, that's what you see in those first four seals of Revelation chapter 6. I mean, it's a horrible picture. But then let me go a little further. After he'd opened the first four seals, and then he opens, let me come here, when he'd opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain. Now listen to this. He opens the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. And for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, doth thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Now that's the fifth seal of the 7 year tribulation period. The fifth seal, and these happen right behind the other. There's no great delay, and then they all continue at the same time. And this is the fifth seal. And what is it? But the multitude of people who have been slain for the word of God. Slain for the word of God. And they cry out, "Doth thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And notice, "And white robes was given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while, a little season, and then their fellow servants and their brethren that should be killed as they were should also be killed." And so it's a continuation of slaughter. I mean, slaughtering one group after the other, one great company after the other. And they as soon as they're slaughtered, they're now dead, but they're under the altar, and they're crying out, and God gives them white robes and tells them to rest a while until the rest of their friends could be killed. You're talking about slaughter, friend. You're talking about unknown slaughter. It is horrible. "And I beheld when one had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, as a fig tree casting her untimely figs. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and an island were moved out of their place." Man, you're talking about slaughter. You're talking about judgment. You're talking about darkness. God having to judge wickedness because he's got to clean it up. The only way to clean up something is to judge it. The only way to get something pure is to render its judgment upon it. And that's what God does. And while he's doing that, the Antichrist is doing his dark deeds. But I want you to notice this. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the mighty men, and every bondsman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and the rocks in the mountains. I mean, people began to hide. What are they hiding from? Well, here it is. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, there's a change here. We just were watching people being slain that were coming to Christ, that were being converted, that were part of a mass revival with multitudes getting right with God. This is after the rapture now. And multitudes getting right with God. And then they're being slain and murdered and killed. And then it turns to show us the picture of the wicked. Those who are wicked, they don't want nothing to do with God. And what they're saying is, hide us from the face of him that sit on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. Now, I want you, if you don't get this booklet, you will miss something that will help you understand everything I'm saying. And you can trace me in the Bible carefully. I have no problem with being traced in the Bible. I have no problem with people searching everything I say to make sure I'm not saying anything wrong. I have no trouble with you questioning me and making sure I'm doing it right. I really don't. I want to hear from you. The lines are now open. I've got 20-some minutes. And I'd really like to spend every bit of it answering questions, explaining what I'm saying to you, and get you to grasp it, how close we are to the great return of Jesus Christ. You don't want to miss that rapture, friend. You don't want to miss that rapture. And you're not going in that rapture if you're not washed in the blood and living a godly life. You can't go in that rapture with sin in your heart. You can't go in that rapture with murder in your heart. You can't go in that rapture if you're sleeping with somebody that's not your wife or your husband. You can't go in that rapture if you're living a life of sodomy or prostitution or adultery or fornication or transvestite living. You just can't go. You just aren't going. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. My Bible is plain. My Bible is plain. I read you at the beginning what Peter said when he said it so very plain. And I'll read a little bit again, but the day of the Lord will come as the thief in the night. You say, when is it going to be? If our world isn't ready for it now, how can our world get ready for it? How much worse do you think it's got to get before God comes to judge this wicked mess? How much worse do you think it's got to get? Can you tell me one sin that could be added to man's actions today that might make the world more adept for judgment? Tell me one sin. Transvestite, when 77% of all the Democrats who have a college degree or above, 77% now, say that a doctor does not have the right to tell a little boy when he's born that he's a little boy, or a little girl doesn't have the right to tell mama, I got a little girl. They say that. The doctor don't know. They don't know until they themselves come. Friend, when you talk about the transgender, the transgender descent into the gutter, the transgender descent into the mire of wickedness, there's nothing can get worse than that. I thought sodomy was the bottom line. But transgender is really worse than sodomy. Even Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember how God judged Sodom and Gomorrah? Even Sodom and Gomorrah had no evidence of transgender, had no evidence of same-sex marriage. If that had ever appeared, it was never written in the Bible. I think we right now have a culture that is worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you think God's not going to judge it, you just don't believe the Bible. That's all I can say. Because you've got 6,000 years of history in this little book. And I'm telling you, God has never put up with sin past a certain degree. God has never put up with sin past a certain degree. And God's not going to do it this time. I don't know the moment. I know what the book says. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He don't want you to go to hell. He don't want you to have to be saved in that tribulation period. He don't want you to have to wait until you're slaughtered to be a believer. He don't want you to wait for that. If you wait, it's your doing. It's your foolishness. It's your carelessness. It's your doing, really. And I pray that you won't wait any longer. I really do. Now, I want to move on because you can call it any moment, 704-391-0588. Call, chew me out. Call, tell me how wrong I am. But I want to tell you something. We could be in the new millennial in 7 years. We could be in the new kingdom of Christ on this earth. The whole thing cleaned up. The whole thing turned into a righteous place. The Bible says that righteousness will cover the earth like waters cover the sea. Have you ever read that? Righteousness will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. The most vicious of animals will begin to live in peace with one another. Literally live in peace with one another. A child winds up playing on a snake den and doesn't get hurt and doesn't get bit. Nothing. There's no injury. There's no hatred. There'll be no wickedness. Great day. And you rather be a part of this world like it is and then take a chance of missing the rapture and going into the tribulation period unprepared, having to get saved and suffer intense slaughtering. I'm begging you. I don't know how this man of God could come to you and come before you with a greater passion, with a greater burden, with a greater yearning. I've been weeping and sobbing. If you knew how many tears I shed every week now in my prayer life, I'm not bragging. He gets the glory for every bit of it. I'm just trying to let you know. I don't bring you these words because I want to make you angry and because I want to scare you to death. But if I had to scare you to death to get you to turn to Christ, I don't mind. I'll do it. I really would. Because it is just that dangerous. And you don't want to have to get saved after that dark tribulation period. Now, I want to take you and show you the evil that Satan is going to represent as he comes into this world with his Antichrist. Have you ever studied that? I did a little time with that last week, showing you that when that Antichrist comes, friend, you're talking about darkness and evil and wickedness. Unimaginable. Let me take a call here. The lines are open now, and I'd love to have you to call 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Toll free 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Please call. I want to talk to you. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, I have a question for you. Actually, two questions.
Okay, I'd love it.
But the first one, I heard a pastor comment on a radio talk show this week that nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that the tribulation is going to be for 7 years, but it actually doesn't tell us how many years it's going to be. I was wondering if you could comment on that. And he went back to the scriptures in Daniel, and I know that's where they usually get that from, probably.
Where did he get it from now? Where did you say he got it from?
Well, he referred back to Daniel.
Okay, that's good.
But if you're going to take the Bible literally, like, you know, you tell us to do and this man said we should do, you know, when it talks about the 1,000-year millennial reign, we take that as a literal 1,000 years.
Absolutely.
So where do they come up with that the tribulation is going to be for 7 years?
Well, it really starts in the book of Daniel. You see, when Daniel wrote this vision, he described when Jerusalem would once again be re-inhabited after the Babylonian destruction. And he went from that moment when the Jerusalem would be recovered and reinstated and rebuilt. And there's two or three points there that make that so vivid. And then he gives the time of that until the time when Messiah would be cut off. And he gives the time in such a manner that the exact time from the time the decree was made to when Jesus was crucified was 400 460 some years, exactly 69 years of a year, 69 weeks of 7 years each week. And so the precise date from the time the decree was made until Jesus was crucified brought them to the point of a 69-year period. And there's 1 week left. And the 1 week left has to be 7 years, just like all the other 400 483 has to be exact. So 483 and 7. And one for the last. I mean, it comes out exactly, and I didn't say it precisely because I hadn't repeated those words recently, but they come out precisely. And then God does everything in a pattern of 7 years, 7 days in a week, seven is the pattern in the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. So if you had a tribulation period that was only 6 years, it wouldn't be complete. It has to be 7 years to fulfill God's pattern from Genesis all the way to Revelation 22. And then you got pictures. Go to the book of Revelation chapter 13. And you have the Antichrist. And his last period will be 3.5 years. And that's half the way through the 7 year period when the Antichrist puts up his image in the temple in Jerusalem. And it's 3.5 years to finish out the 7 years. So the pattern of 7 years is so perfect. You've got to literally be ignorant of the true understanding of Scripture and keep it in all in context. Everything on the same pattern, and you can't have anything less than 7 years.
Okay.
Did I help you a little bit? I was a little bit confused in saying all of that because I hadn't said it recently. But I'm telling you, the pattern for 7 years of the tribulation is perfect. It really is.
Also, the caller that called in earlier and asked about children
going
in the rapture, you said there was a verse in Corinthians. I missed that scripture that you gave.
All right, in Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7, it talks about children being sanctified by believing parents.
Okay.
And that's all that scripture talks about, is how children are sanctified by believing parents. If a mother or dad is an unbeliever, but mother is a believer, then the children are sanctified by the faith of mother. In the opposite, if the daddy is the believer, again, they're sanctified by the faith of daddy. All right, so we know that children have to have believing parents to be sanctified as little children. And then Jesus comes along in Matthew 24, and he says, woe unto the mothers who are with children, and to those that give suck. And this is in the middle of the tribulation period that he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And he says that woe to them if they're given suck. But then, think about it. When in church history has God ever just took children in something, without responsibility? When the ark was sailing, did all the little babies get in the ark? When Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, did God take all the babies out of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Oh, the Bible doesn't tell us that he did.
Well, if the Bible didn't tell us he did, we certainly don't try to make him doing it. And so the Bible is plain that God judges everything in his own order after the same pattern. And when Jesus comes, he will take the believing people, and a believer who's got little children will take their little children with them. The others will not.
Could you comment just for a minute? How do you feel about the ecumenical movement?
It is the new world church. It is the church that the Antichrist will use during the 7 year tribulation period. It is a false church. It's so apostate until it's almost impossible to describe it. It used to be, I've been saved 66 years. So I have watched from the time I was saved 12 years when Israel became a nation. 1948. this year has been 70 years, and our president just declared Jerusalem as being the capital. And the new capital in Jerusalem announced yesterday is going to be dedicated in the month of May.
Really?
The month of May.
Wow.
So the 70 years are complete this year, and I've watched that from a 12-year-old lad until now. Now, I didn't know about it when it first occurred, because I wasn't saved until about 8 years later. No, 6 years later. I was saved at, 4 years later. I was saved at 16. And I can tell you that everything that has happened, I got saved, I preached in Presbyterian churches. One of my dearest friends at Black Mountain was an Episcopalian pastor. I used to be friends with preachers in all kinds of denominations. I used to go to Myers Park Church to the minister's meeting. And slowly, if I would walk in that meeting, I'm sure they would dismiss that meeting. I mean, it's just got that bad. Well, maybe they wouldn't. Maybe they'd tolerate me. I'm not going to try it, though. I'm telling you, I have watched the whole development of the ecumenical movement.
So those pastors that have been sucked into that movement, are they still going to go to heaven and their works just be burned up, or is this... Are they actually...
Well, you know what? It's amazing that you asked me that, because the scriptures I've been reading from the last day or two has just been overwhelming. The book of 2 Peter, and I love the words of 2 Peter. Let me read you what's happening right now. Listen, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables, where we have made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on. He says, and he warns them, knowing that first, let me make sure I'm where I know I wasn't where I want to be. I'm sorry. I got to go to the right verses. He's warning them, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they've escaped the corruption that is in the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned again to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Peter was talking about this very hour when the corruption and the compromise and the disobedience to God and the failure to live in the Word and the falling away and the apostasy would appear, and how the people would be duped into it, and they would have been better off if they'd never been saved. Now, what do you think's going to happen to them? They're going to be lost.
Lost?
Yes, that's exactly right. Those preachers who have compromised, I know many preachers in the Church of God who used to be old-fashioned, just like me. I used to be called liberal in the Church of God. I used to be called liberal. They thought I was liberal, but I was just trying to be balanced in the Word. I didn't get off on on either side. And now I had an overseer to tell me recently, I don't remember the last sermon that I heard on the rapture. And he said it proudly. I don't remember the last sermon I heard on the rapture. He don't want to hear it.
I know none of the churches in my little town preach on the rapture.
Well, they don't believe it.
A lot of people that I talk to that are in your mainline denominations,
they're post-millennial.
They've never heard the word rapture.
Yeah, they don't know what it means, do they?
No.
Well, they used to know before they got in these new seminaries of our day. They used to know Billy Graham was loved all the way into Catholicism, and he preached the rapture as clear as a bell. You remember?
Yes, I do, but why did he send people back to their churches, you know, at the end of his crusades?
Well, you know, I'm not going to get into all of that. I wasn't happy with a lot of that either. But that's not what I would even discuss today. Thank God for the good he did and what he did say. And thank God I can sit here and tell you that I preach biblically. I'm a Pentecostal, and he wasn't a Pentecostal. But I can tell you, other than the Pentecostal faith and the old line of holiness, I remember, and let me tell you something that's amazing. I got to go here. I'm using all my time. And that's okay, though. Your questions have been wonderful. I was getting Billy Graham's magazine when I pastored in Black Mountain. And his wife, by the way, Ruth, came to one of the funerals because it was a servant that they had up at their home that had worked for them. And she came to his funeral at our church. And I remember having a Billy Graham magazine in my hand, and I'm reading it, and I come to a question and answer section where somebody says, Billy, what has happened to sanctification in the church? And here's was Billy Graham's answer. He said, sanctification is above the level where the church is living today. That was in about 1970. Mm-hmm. So he watched it go. But when he first started preaching, brother, he was a Mays Jackson kind of old-fashioned Baptist.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was. Hey, I hope you have enjoyed the answers, and you have helped me answer a lot of questions to people out there listening, and I'm glad you called.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Well, that was absolutely an excellent call, and I thank her. And I want to tell all of you, please don't wait any longer. Get this sermon in every... Well, it's not a sermon, it's a radio program. But get this radio program in every hand you can. And get a hold of us. We have wonderful material, and our lady is standing by to take your name and address. You've got to get that booklet. You really have. Now, the numbers will be on Facebook. They'll be on Internet. You can call and get anywhere you want to. Paul Creek Ministry, Charlotte, North Carolina. I mean, we are doing everything we can to proclaim this old-fashioned message, this old-fashioned gospel. I'm telling you, it's later than you think. I cannot tell you just how late it may be. But it may be the rapture takes place today or maybe tomorrow. And maybe next week we'll have that moment when the sun goes out for a couple of hours. And maybe while the sun's out, the moon will start dripping blood. It's fixing to happen. You better start watching for it. It is fixing to happen. We are so close. And I could be gone before the next week's broadcast. And I don't have anybody ready to put this program up. I'm trying to get some preachers ready. But I'm telling you, it's a job doing what I'm doing. And I love it. I mean, I couldn't live without it. I'm just in love with it to that degree. And I need your help. I'm trying this month to raise $30,000, and every debt this church has will be fulfilled and paid. Everything. Just got some little spranglings of things. A few things with school, some money with radio, probably $8,000 or $10,000 radio dollars. And I got to have your help. Help me this week, will you? And come to church tomorrow. Oh, last Sunday, we had what a day. What a day. And we'll have another one tomorrow. I can't wait to preach. I love preaching this word. I don't know how many years I got, but I promise you, you're going to get my best while I'm here. Now, here's the notebook, the book of Revelation. These are visions that John saw in the book of Revelation. This is what John saw. One drama after the other from Revelation 1 all the way to Revelation 22. And that would be an education if you got that notebook. $29.95. You'll bless us and we'll bless you. And you can get a several for your friends and those that you care about and love. And I'm telling you, it's almost over. And I pray you won't waste no more time. I pray you'll get on fire for Christ. If you don't know him, get on your knees right now and pray through. I mean, pray until you know you're saved. Pray until you know that you're right with God. Pray until the Spirit of the Lord just takes hold of you and possesses you and you become totally His. Don't be satisfied just to have something up here. You got to get it down here, friend. What's up there won't take you in the rapture. What's down here is what will take you in the rapture. Are you hearing me? What's in here? A surrendered, total life poured out to Christ. That's what will take you in the rapture. So get on your knees and the blood of Jesus will wash you as white as snow. Now you remember the name of this program, very plain, very clear, Saved Out of Doomsday, because you missed the rapture. Because you missed the rapture. That will be your only hope then, friend. Hey, day he's coming, and he's coming soon, and I can't wait. I really can't. I can't wait to be part of that day, brother. I can't wait to be part of that day. I want you to be part of that day. I want you to be serving him with all your heart. I'm trying to get some music here because I want you to hear what the Lord is saying. All right, we'll have some music here in a moment. And we will bless you to the best of our ability. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Keep calling. Our lady will stand by and take your name and address. I hope you'll be with me in church tomorrow. It will make me happy. It will make me happy.
Caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurn, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary.